This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد رسول الله خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ونبيك ورسولك الأمي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما عدد ما أحاط به علمك وخط به قلمك وأحصاه كتابك وارض اللهم عن ساداتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي الأخير وعن الصحابة أجمعين وعن التابعين وتابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And may Allah reward the organizers and reward all of you for giving me the honor of addressing you with a few humble thoughts about the theme of this blessed convention, inshallah. The title of this presentation is Love, an Islamic Perspective. I usually avoid saying the Islamic perspective because any presentation that involves interpretation or views, even though you might be using the Quran and Sunnah as your sources, you cannot claim that this is the only one. It is one perspective. And if we can perhaps get the slides that the brothers and sisters can follow and move on to the second slide where we have a basic outline of this hopefully brief presentation. One, the word success appears as a theme of this convention, principles of success. So I have to have just a few words on it. It could be a topic by itself, but just a few words on it. But then we'll focus, what do you mean by Islamic perspective on love? And you see 6 points there. I don't have to repeat them because inshallah we'll be dealing with them systematically, inshallah, one by one. As far as the word success, you can look at it from the way most people see success in the worldly sense, having a good education, promotion, making more money, being respected as a professional. All of these are good. We're not talking about, it's the matter of two qualifiers that makes it ibadah, part of ibadah even. One is that it is within the scope of what is permissible in Islam. Secondly, the intention should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This requires some wrestling with our nafs because sometimes our ego comes into the picture. Our love of dunya might interfere. Nobody can totally purely doing things 100% for the sake of Allah, so we have to wrestle with ourselves on that one. But I have no problem with these two qualifiers. As promised, a couple of words, just two slides on the term success, but from a different perspective. It's not vis-a-vis, it's not the opposite of worldly perspective, as mentioned earlier, but from a Quranic perspective. And when we say the Quranic perspective, then we have to see which term in the Quran is the closest to the English term success. I searched a little bit and found that in at least 40 places in the Quran, the falah, the word falah, or muflihun, appear there. Muflihun, of course, would be from the same root. If we were to go all the ayat to give backing of each of these points, you will be here until suhoor. So I'll just put it in point form. And I give you a hint that the first few of them all appear in the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd Surah of the Quran. Falah means falah in the matter of iman, or these are the characteristics of the muflihun, al-mu'minun, al-muflihun. Qad aflah al-mu'minun. Number one, iman. Number two, devotion and concentration in prayers. Number three, عن اللغو معرضون, abstaining from vain talk. Fourthly, لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. The word zakah, it's not only the payment of zakah, it means in the original meaning, in fact, purification. And zakah is one subset of that purification in terms of property. But in fact, the term zakah is used in the Quran, the exact term, in fact, as purification. Describing the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيُزَكِّهِمْ, and purify them from the same root as the term zakah. Fifthly, chastity. Number six, keeping amanatihim, their trusts. It's not only trust that somebody deposit money with you or any other article and you give it back. In fact, trust, amana, appears in the Quran in a variety of meaning, the most important of which is the oath or the covenant that Allah had with our souls before even we were created, that we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if put it differently, that our pure innate nature that emanates from the divine breath that Allah put into us, وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. So this is amana. And then of course, all variety of meanings can be attached to that, including the amana of being the trustees of Allah on earth. In the Quran also we find that one of the characteristics of those who are successful are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in the middle of the most critical situation and difficult, still, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember Allah much, that you may attain this falah. The Quran reminds us also to keep remembering and recounting the favors of Allah who has given all of these ni'am or bounties to us. فَذْكُرُوا آلَاءَ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. All of which, by the way, had the words that all come from the same root in falah. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Strive in the path or way of Allah so that you may attain falah. Perseverance and patience. اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون. So there are a variety of ways. In fact, all good deeds would be part of that broad concept of falah or success in English. But you see, of course, that the Islamic meaning is all-embracive, more beyond what the English term might connote. Let's get to the topic itself. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself in the Quran as wadud. The word wud or wadud, for example, in Surah Al-Kahf also, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّ. The word wud actually is a superlative of love. Superlative of love. It is greater and more intense than love. Many people, of course, think of love also like all kind of romantic love, especially between men and women. And once they get married, ya salam, there is all kind of feeling of love. That is love. What is wood? Wood is when they grow old, when the black hair become white hair, when the smart small waist become a barrel like, when the wrinkles appear in the skin, is their love still continuing after that? That if it is there, then it is not just mere love, it is wood amawadda. Now, to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he described himself actually in the Quran, as wadood, it defies one word translation. You can say affectionate, even though it might give some meaning. I like the translation full of loving mercy. Yeah, it has the element of mercy and love. But then I noted something that's rather interesting, that the word wadood, most compassionate, most loving, full of loving kindness, appear in one place in the Quran in the context of mercy. Inna Rabbi Rahimun Wadud. So it's connected with Rahmah. In another ayah, it is connected with, guess what? Forgiveness. وهو الغفور الودود. If you look at these three, I thought, but I didn't have time to make some kind of triangular shape to show that all three elements are interrelated. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving, then one manifestation of that love is His mercy. One manifestation of that love also is His willingness to forgive us, knowing our weaknesses and shortcomings. And you can think of it the other way around. It's almost like, instead of actually a triangle, you can say, you talk about the circular, shape, where all three, as I call it, are interdependent, interrelated with one another. Now, when we examine the Quran in the light of these foundational terms, we find that there are tens of ayat in the Quran that comes from the term wadud, or similar ones like it, the one I referred to in Surah Al-Kahf. سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّ, come from wood. However, if you include also the two related attributes of Allah that comes with wadud, forgiveness and mercy, then you're really talking about hundreds of ayat in the Quran. If you take even just the term mercy, this is something amazing yet to find in the Quran. That we all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 beautiful attributes. 99 beautiful attributes. And guess which one appear most frequently in the Quran, considering all derivatives? Which ones? Mercy. Yeah, even though some attributes of Allah may appear a few times, Al-Muntaqim, Al-Jabbar, Al-Qawi, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, but there is no comparison, hands down. The most oft repeated attribute of Allah in the Quran is the attribute of Rahmah. Hundreds of ayat. Just go to the concordance of the Quran, column after column after column. Especially if you add the forgiveness also, you're really countless. And guess again, which of the attributes of Allah appear in the beginning of the Quran when you open it, and also in the beginning of all surahs, except the ninth surah? The attribute of Rahmah. Why is it that with the glory of Allah, the Quran doesn't begin in the name of Allah, the powerful, the knowledgeable, the wise? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Subhanallah, the closeness in which Allah addresses us. So each surah has the two derivatives, Rahman and Rahim. There is no time now to elaborate as to how these are different, except to say Rahman is only a name of Allah. I know some people are not aware of that. Rahman is the only is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it means actually the source of mercy, of all mercy. Rahim, it's okay. You can be called a human being as Rahim. But if you want to use Rahman, you should precede it with Abdul. Abdul Rahman, then of course the servant of Rahman. Also Abdul Rahim and others, but Rahman is actually a more profound divine name of Allah subhanahu. Now, out of the 114 surahs in the Quran, 113 begin with two attributes. So multiply 2 by 113, that is 268? No. My math is bad. 224. But again, I think it's in Surah Al-Qasas. إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانَ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. So Bismillah and Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim appear also in a surah, but in the middle. So we're not getting in these details, but I just wanted to clarify how profound the notion of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And this is very much relevant in our days, when you find people are making all kind of theologies and speculations and this and that, and they act in ways that has nothing to do with the greatest attribute of Allah, mercy. They might be addressing minds that do not understand actions that is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but where is the mercy in that thinking or action that is sorely really missing? Now, it is not the matter of frequency, because we said there are hundreds of references in the Quran to love and its related attributes. What is even more important is the way in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested his mercy to humankind. We don't have to have many words even. It's not a statistical game, even though in a statistical game you will win also. But that's not the ultimate of it. The reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human fi ahsani taqweem, in the best of molds, and the symmetry in the creation, dignified the human, not only the Muslim. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam. Indeed, we ennobled or dignified the children of Adam. No group or religion, followers of any religion, can claim the exclusive title of being the children of Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to bow down, not bowing down of worship, but bowing down of respect, as in Surah Yusuf also, to Adam alayhi salam. Appointed the human as the khalifa or trustee on earth, and that's one of the meaning of amana also that we carry as believers in Allah. In fact, Allah, as he says in the Quran, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِنْهَا. Allah made for your service, meaning all humans, everything in heavens, not just on earth, and on earth, all from him. That is a manifestation of love in a more profound embodiment. Now, that's fine and dandy. And I started first by emphasizing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it's manifested in words and action before we talk about our reciprocal obligation as Muslims. And again, as was recited, our brother was reciting, ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. Among people there are those who take besides Allah or instead of Allah people that they love them as they love Allah, but the true believers are more intense in their love of Allah. Love actually is not just a matter of repeating words. I love God, I love Allah, Allah loves me. You can sing, it's nice, you can sing it. But what is more important, that love of Allah means to be grateful to Allah. That's iman, actually. The Quran contrasts between shukr and kufr. لكن سورة لقمان ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن يشكر لله. فشكر meaning to be grateful to Allah. Kufr has variety of meaning. It's not always negative. Some are neutral meaning. Some are meanings that would not take you away from Islam. For example, many times the Quran used the word kufr and kafara, meaning was not grateful enough. And all of us as humans, of course, we can never be grateful enough to Allah. So we have to be very careful about the usage of terms in the Quran, depending on their context, contextual meaning. Because kufr, to cover up, in terms of being ungrateful, you're covering up being thankful to Allah, covering up all this ni'am. But the real test of love, we find it in the Quran very clearly. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if indeed you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you more and forgive your sins. The responsibility of love is not just undirected emotional type of feeling without manifestation in our lives. Then I'd like to share with you a humble thought that may sound a bit strange. In fact, the occasion for that is that I was invited to have a dialogue, not debate, very friendly dialogue by a Christian priest and his church in Rochester, Minnesota. And basically the brother was saying that they keep bombarding Muslims. Our religion is based on love, God is love, and all of these things. But I got the impression from some of the Muslim community there that they think Islam, in contrast, is a religion of, you know, sternness, punishment, and all of these matters, and that Allah doesn't love, but we believe that Allah loves everything. I went back to the Quran, which is our source, after all. We don't have to just ride the wave because some people are saying, go back to the Quran and make ta'seel, bring it to its true roots. We can look at the love of Allah for man or humankind as of two elements. One element of that love and care applies to all human beings, including those who do not believe in Allah or defy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I said it might sound very strange to you. How come Allah loves people like this? But if you think of it, and I gave the evidence from hadith. If Allah is obsessed, hasha lillah, with hating those who don't believe in him or disobey them, you could punish them immediately. Yet they disbelieve and they sin, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them air to breathe. ممكن يفطسهم, just deprive them from the air for a while, they will die. Still, provide them the food they eat. Provide them with all pleasure. Because again, when the Quran say Allah made for your benefit everything in heavens and earth, that includes all. It's not only for one group or class of people or the other. And like I say in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, part of the hadith, it says that in the hadith Qudsi, لو أن الدنيا تساوي عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى الكافر منها شربة ماء. That if indeed this life is worth anything in the sight of Allah, even as much weight as a wing of a fly, Allah would have deprived the person who rejects him even a drink of water. That means his glory is above all of that, above our own attitudes as human, to take revenge against those who he still provide them. But then there is an element, the more important element really, is the love of Allah for those who try hard to be Allah conscious, to have that taqwa in them. But on the other hand, sometimes you might say, how do you separate these two expressions? Let me try something that might bring it closer. I did not find, for example, a single ayah in the entire Quran speaking about evil people, and it says Allah hates fulan, a person. I might have missed something, but correct me. Never found an ayah that Allah hates a person. But Allah used the term kariha, hated, of action. ولكن كره الله بعثهم. Some of the hypocrites, Allah didn't like their action and their betrayal of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But otherwise, you know what is the most common expression about evil in the Quran and bad character? لا يحب. Look at the significance, the depth of it. Allah لا يحب, does not love. Because you know the word hate, you know, the way most people would think of it is something that is attached to a person that you can't just separate that quality from the person as person. Are there possibly separable? Yes, because love is not a vague, abstract concept that just floating in the air. When you talk about people who are merciful, for example, what does mercy mean unless it is embodied in the action of a believer? You get my point? So it's not separate. And it is attached to the person, but would have no meaning unless there is a human being there. If there is an evil nature or evil action, okay, it has to have some meaning. When you talk about greed, no humans, there must be a human who has insatiable desire for money and this and that. So in other words, it is not hate, it is Allah doesn't love. But is it not more politically correct not to use even love? No, it would be totally wrong and untruthful and apologetic. Why? Where does it appear in the Quran when Allah says Allah doesn't love? Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimin. Didn't person name persons, al-zalimin, a category. That people who are oppressive, others. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-kafirin, those who reject. So the question of love and hate, like I said, has to be related to some human beings. Why is it a softer concept than hating? I'll hate you forever until I die, after my death, and when I'm resurrected, I still hate you. No. It is what Allah hates is that trait, the trait of being oppressed, the trait of being denial of truth, and all of these other evils. And it would be against the integrity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say Allah loves everything, whether you do good or bad, Allah loves. Don't use ever the word Allah doesn't love. No. If Allah loves justice, it means that he doesn't love injustice. And those, of course, who do injustice, but once they correct that evil trait, they come back and Allah will accept them, like they say, figuratively, with wide arms. Okay? Wide open. So this is a big difference between the attitudes. then all love, and this is something I agree with the title that says the basic faith of Islam is really based on love, is that while it begins more importantly and more profoundly with the love relationship between the human and the Creator, all other love, forms of love or manifestation emanate from that. I call it derived from that love. That includes the love of course, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, I put S also, because we love all the prophets as well, because Allah sent them and chose them. We love Musa and Isa and Ibrahim, all of them. But of course, the greatest manifestation of that love is in the final prophet with the perfect and complete message. We love our families also because our love of Allah and fulfilling our commitment to Him. We love the nations where we live, not for the sake of nationalism, blind nationalism, or my country right or wrong. No, it is all controlled by what is right and what is wrong. And some people may think that loving the country where you were born is wrong in itself, and again, it's not necessarily. If you put it ahead of Islam, if you put the nationalistic ties ahead of the Imani or faith ties, yeah, that could be a problem. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was driven with persecution from Mecca, and while he's going to Medina, he says, he looks back at Mecca in the background. It says, by Allah, you are the most beloved country or place, or can not say city, to me. And had it not been that my people did not force me to leave, I would have not left it. But again, the balance within the ties of Iman. There is also the love of creation of Allah. In fact, the Quran evokes us to love the creation of Allah. When it speaks about animals, it doesn't just talk about functionality of animals because you eat it or get its milk, but the beauty. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ سُرَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. The beauty of animals when you take them to pasture. When it speaks about vegetation and the plants, it's not only again because we eat it, but talk about انظروا إلى ثمره إذا أثمر وينع. It speaks about the variety of colors and beauty in plants. Even mountains. Imagine passing by the mount of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, هذا جبل يحبنا ونحبه. This mountain, we love it and it loves us. What does it mean that you express your love of the mountain? As one said, climb the mountain, embrace it, and start smooshing right and left, meaning you appreciate the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the artistic aspect also of the creation of Allah. So this is all derived forms of love. Finally, the last part, just glimpses, quick, simple glimpses of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, we said love is connected with mercy and forgiveness. That can take hours, but I'll save you that by making just highlights. You look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his love of his wives, especially Khadija radiallahu anha, to the point that even after she died, he kept mentioning her with honor. Even Aisha radiallahu anha got a little jealous at one time. He praises her. When he slaughtered an animal for food, he said, send this to the friends of Khadija, or because they used to visit us when Khadija was alive. Manifest his love by helping around the household, something that Muslim men are not much used to, and they better do if they want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, provided that the sister don't take advantage and say you do all the work. There has to be cooperation. And it has been said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do the household chores until azan comes. as a father, his love of Fatima radiallahu anha, when she comes, he kisses her, let her sit by him. As a son crying over the grave of his mother. As a nephew loving his uncle, even though he was not a Muslim, Abu Talib, in appreciation of his good character and the favors he did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a grandfather who let Hassan and Hussein, his grandchildren, ride over him, and he makes a horse for them and say, yeah, what a wonderful rider and what a wonderful horse underneath you, or something to that effect. That's, we can find rich information on the nature of his feeling and caring. Caring neighbors who, irrespective of faith, like his visitation of a Jewish boy who used to serve him when he got sick and visited him, and in fact, he was worried about him, invited him to Islam, and his father was there, and he said, follow what Abu al-Qasim, I mean the Prophet ﷺ, told you. A gentle teacher, you hear about the story of a man, a Bedouin, who came and passed water in the masjid, a terrible thing, and everybody was just after him. And he says, hold it, leave it to me. And he goes to him. He says, the masajid are not for this kind of thing. They should be clean. It is for salah. To the point that this man saw the contrast. And he said, Allahumma arhamni warham Muhammadan wa la tarham ahadan siwana. Yani, oh Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad, but no one else. Of course, the Prophet objected, لَقَدْ ضَيَّقْتَ وَاسِعًا. You can't restrict the mercy of Allah. But it looks at the gentleness rather than when somebody does something wrong, he doesn't say, so and so did. He says, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ. What is wrong with people who do this and that? You find his goodness, his love, also goes to the enemies who spoke against him. And you have to remember the incident in Al-Ta'if. They stone him and bleed him. And the angel said, if you want, we can squeeze them, crush them between these two mountains. And he says, no. اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. Oh Allah, forgive my people, for they not what they're doing. Very similar to another great prophet, Isa alayhi salam, said it. Another narration, I pray to Allah, or hope to Allah, that out of their descendants, there will be people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In opening of Mecca, many of those who did wrong were trembling, and again was practically general amnesty, excluding what you might call a dozen or so more criminals, you might say murderers, who were not exempt, and some of them even were forgiving with the intercession of some of his companions. And finally, of course, even in his attitude in da'wah, is not to add numbers to Muslims. He says, my likeness and people is like someone who lit a fire, and when the fire, you know, sparked and became so big, the you know, these flies, the moth, started rushing itself into the fire. And I'm standing there, try to save as many people as well. Try just to. So he says, this is how I'm holding you from your belts, because you don't know what you're doing. You're hurting yourself. It's not just to add numbers because I've become a big leader. Because genuine concern, to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him in the Quran, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. And another ayah in Surah Al-Kahf. Are you going to kill yourself in grief because they don't believe? That's how he feels towards those who are, didn't say let them go to itch if they don't listen to me. That's not. Conclusion, very quickly. Love, mercy, and forgiveness are interrelated divine qualities. Or an aspect of love is to embrace all. The dislike action that are correctable, not the individual themselves that are hated, their action. The real test of all is to practice real love, not just talk about it. Shall we all compete for that, Muslims and people of other communities? Wassalamu alaikum.